The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
As darkness falls across the heartland of America, I am Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. I had to look at you to see if you were even going to start the show, because just seconds before your opening, you were hacking.
Yeah, it's a bit of an allergic thing going on this week.
You have allergies?
Oh, since
I know. I've lived with you for over 12 years, honey. I love every minute of it.
Oh,
and
boy, howdy.
I'm so sorry about those allergies.
It's been a rough year for it, but, you know.
It has.
These things, this is nothing. It's the buzzing of flies to Vigo. Welcome to PID Radio for October 22nd, 2010. And a little late getting started tonight, but that's okay. We had some stuff.
We'll make it. You got another show to do later on. Have some coffee.
And I'll be ready
to
go.
I'd offer you donuts if we had a Krispy Kreme here in town. I'm going to complain about that through my birthday. I know. Yeah. Well, you know, you never know. Maybe the Lord will one day drop a Krispy Kreme in our town.
And maybe CERN will just start another
universe. We'll wake up and it's sure enough we're in a parallel universe.
Yeah, well, it's interesting how the story about CERN has changed, about how the scientists there have said, no, this is just for nothing. We might have created an alternate universe. Yeah. They're talking that they may now discover hidden worlds and extra dimensions when they finally flip the switch and get the Large Hadron Collider running.
Which is coming up here soon, I think.
Yeah, it is, you know.
They were going to do it in October of this year earlier on. I'm not sure if they changed their minds. But I think we're pretty close.
I'm not quite sure why this seems to be, but it's the organizations that have the most ominous names that, you know, really over the top. That are just for show. It's the ones with the really banal and benign names, like Office of Special Plans, that seem to come up with the really hideous, horrifying stuff. And the group at CERN is called the Theory Group. Yeah. It's the Theory Group. And they're talking about discovering what they call the universe's extra bits.
I didn't know they had extra bits. I thought the extra bits had been removed to keep the universe from propagating.
Yeah, or just the parts of the universe that don't really get used, sort of like the appendix of the universe, I guess. That's what they hope to discover. It's
Sam said you got to watch that big sleep. Mm-hmm. You wake up, bits are gone.
And you just don't feel the same afterwards for
you
some reason.
You don't. I don't know. A chew stick isn't a chew stick anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And a cigar isn't a cigar.
Well, we'll see what happens. It may be that everything they do will remain contained within the confines of CERN.
Well, remember the TV show Fringe?
Yeah.
With Leonard Nimoy, who played Dr. Bell?
Yes.
Dr. Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was in a parallel universe, and in fact, one of the things he wanted to do was open up the world, the gates mm-hmm. between the two universes. And indeed, these soldiers were coming over, and they were planning on conquering our side.
Mm-hmm.
Bell, they showed Bell, you knew it was a parallel universe because mm-hmm. he was standing in the World Trade Center.
Oh, right, sure, yeah. Well, they'll try to get this working next year, and we'll see what happens there. And, you know, if that happens, well, maybe that'll be a good thing if they find an alternate universe, because radical greens are saying now, and this is per the World Wildlife Federation, so you know it's true information, says that we are using 1.5 planets worth of resources. So if we find an extra Earth that we can just pillage, that'd be a good thing.
How about this? How about if they open an portal to what they claim is a parallel universe? No, I'm serious. Here, wait.
Okay, sorry.
Millions of Christians disappear.
Ah, that's an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
That is an interesting concept.
They've gone on.
Uh-huh.
You know, only those who had certain mindsets were sucked through the gate.
Right. Here's another interesting thing.
Or worse
thing.
Yet, that movie that's coming out. We talked about that already, but...
The one with Matt Damon as the
no, not that one. Not Hereafter.
Okay.
The other one that's showing sort of like Tom Cruise's
Skyline.
Version of... Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And then there was the television show that we actually liked, and it Flash Forward, that really came on strong at the end of its first season, and then it got canceled.
It wasn't even the end of its season. It was the end of the first six or seven episodes, and then they said, oh, we're taking a hiatus. We'll see you later.
Yeah.
See you next spring.
Yeah, brilliant.
And in program. The meantime, they retooled the whole thing so it was more edgy and nice. And I had to get my eyebrows waxed, you know, kind of guy.
Yeah. And it's a shame because it had an interesting premise that everyone on Earth, except for a few people, but you don't know that right away, fall asleep and suddenly wake up again. And it's triggered by something very much like or similar to CERN,
in fact, the book that it's based on was triggered by CERN.
That's right. We talked about that. So next year, we'll see. We'll see.
Well, speaking of mysterious mysteries, we've got an article that was sent to us by John Wilkerson, one of our longtime buddies.
The Jesus Geek.
Yeah, Jesus Geek. Well, he sent me an article about a school he goes to.
Really?
Or at least a school in the area where he lives, because he said in his note to me via Facebook that he passes by... another item that is on this campus every day, but he sent me two links, and the first one has to do with something else. But so he clearly walks on this campus every day. This article is it's the Tulsa Community College's West Campus. Tulsa's a big town, so it has several campuses. This TCC facility has what was recently discovered to be a Stonehenge type of structure.
How weird.
On its campus. And an artist built this structure, and only recently was it sort of deciphered. One of the campus, I think he's, what is he, a mathematician? Dustin Hughes, wasn't until Earl Goodman, sorry, I'm having to read down the article, wasn't until Earl Goodman Jr., head of the school's Technology Learning Center, thank you very much, Sharon, you figured it out, noticed a quirk of the shadows that people began to suspect that the seemingly random structure could have a hidden purpose. Well, Goodman had a longstanding fascination with celestial timekeeping, and he suspected that the structure might actually serve as a sundial. It turns out it's not a sundial. At least not only a sundial. It is an analemma.
What's that?
It's a figure eight structure that can be seen on old style globes and maps. And if one were to chart the sun's position in the sky at the same time each day, it would appear to move along an analemma. One end of the figure eight is June 21st. The other end is December 21st.
Huh.
So this is a Stonehenge kind of timekeeping structure there on the TCC campus.
That's very... Now, this was built into the architecture of the campus itself.
Apparently so. It's on a patio leading to a building. It says it radiates out 23.5 degrees facing northwest and southwest.
Mm-hmm.
And the team's research convinced them that the angle they were built at had to be intentional.
Mm-hmm.
So they did a little research and discovered that, indeed, it tells you when the summer solstice and when the winter solstice occur.
How very weird. What, now, it's, you know, why would that have been built into the school's architecture?
I don't know. Isn't that really interesting? And I've not only thought this was fascinating, but it occurred to me, I wonder how many of our listeners have towns close to them or the very one they live in that have really interesting structures like this. And if you've got something in your town, would you send me an email on Facebook? It's the one I check the most often. So if you'll send me just a personal note, private note on Facebook, If you're not already one of my friends, well, why aren't you? Get over there, because I've got virtual Krispy Kremes every day.
This is, you know, I'm just trying to puzzle through, you know, who built it, and why would the architect build this in there? Was it just a private inside joke? Or was there more of a reason to this? I mean, did they just do this so that, you know, someday when future archaeologists uncovered the former learning center here, they would deduce that 21st century mankind worshipped the sun or something?
Well, isn't that a good question?
Or was this something done for a specific religious reason that is not disclosed? Perhaps like the sand mandalas that have been created all over the United States by Buddhist monks over the last couple decades.
I think we need to find out a little bit more about this this artist.
Yeah, and find out, you know, who was the architect and, mm-hmm. and what was this all about. Well,
it's another mystery, sort of like the Georgia Guidestones.
Yes.
Or Carhenge in Nebraska.
Carhenge?
Yeah. It's all these old cars that are set up on end. And
right. I've seen pictures of that. Yeah. Well, at Cahokia Mound, just across from St. Louis, there's that Woodhenge structure where archaeologists found enough organic material in the soil to conclude that there had been wooden posts placed at very precise locations in a circle that helped mark the travel of the sun across the sky from solstice to solstice.
Well, sacred geometry is something that Tom Horn has looked into in just the city of Washington, D.C., but it's not just in Washington. It's all over the place.
Right, right.
Indianapolis alone has all kinds of structures up there, not just the geometry of the buildings themselves, but the pagan imagery that you see in the statues.
And I understand, and this is kind of obscure, but I just want to toss this out here because I thought it was kind of cool. The city of Sandusky, Ohio, I mean, a lot has been said about the layout of the streets of Washington, D.C., and how it incorporates Freemasonic symbology into the layout of the streets. But there are skeptics who say, yeah, but only if you know, skip over some parks and stuff and whatever. But Sandusky, Ohio, apparently, is laid out according to Masonic geometry. And you can look at a map of Sandusky, and that's pretty clear. But as an interesting note, the character played by Harvey Keitel in the movie National Treasure was Agent Sandusky. You know, Sandusky, a reference.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, a little tweak there for
My former boss was from Sandusky.
Plot there it is. Thickens.
It does indeed.
Like a stew.
Like a fish.
Well, speaking of mystery now, what is this NASA saying that their impact probe has determined that there's a lot more water on the moon than was originally thought?
You know, I saw that headline earlier. I really haven't had a chance to read the article yet. So what I find interesting, I read an article yesterday that was saying that we have water on the moon as well as silver and other minerals.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the article was saying, well, silvery moon, it is silver because there's silver up there, but apparently not enough to really go up there and do any mining. But we had that article last week or the week before that said Obama wants to go to Mars.
Right, right.
Doesn't want to go to the moon.
Yeah, that's...
So what are we going to do? I was under the impression that we were going to put a base, Moon Base Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to send Martin Landau up there.
And Barbara Bain.
That they were going to set up a post and we were going to beam things to Jupiter with the monoliths.
Probably right. That's probably
I know
what
that's not what the article said.
Yeah.
But I was under the impression that we were going to go to the moon and use that as a staging area to go to other places in the solar system.
Mm-hmm.
So, what happened to the moon?
Well, I guess that's just not ambitious enough for a Nobel Peace Prize winning president.
He'll be content to just carve his initials in it from here.
Well, we talked about this the other day and probably should give you the latest update on this. In Haiti, things are getting worse. We talked the other day about a disease that doctors really hadn't identified, or at least they had not confirmed that it was cholera. And now they are saying that it is, but it appears to be a particularly virulent strain.
It's very vicious. It kills very quickly.
Yeah. Death toll now confirmed as of today, over 150. This is according to the CDC and the U.S. Agency for International Development.
Well, I read about 1,500 people are sick, so that's about 10% are dying.
Right. And they're saying that this strain of cholera is killing within hours. It's essentially a bacterium that mostly gets killed on its travels through the human gut.
Mostly, but enough get in, because you can, you know, consume millions and millions of them.
Right.
And enough get through that they get into your gut. And they release a toxin that causes you to just, you can't hold on to any fluids. You have dysentery that is just horrific. And I won't go into the description any further than that, because you can picture it yourselves. I know you can, and you can read the article also. But what it amounts to is that you die. I mean, you have to have so much fluid in your body.
Right.
And eventually your heart stops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just dehydrate. And that's a horrible way to go. And,
oh, it's a horrible death.
Yeah.
And I think part of the reason, it could be that it's a particularly virulent strain, but it also could be that these people are simply so malnourished.
To start
and
with,
dehydrated already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that is, you know, pray for the people of Haiti, because as if they hadn't had enough to deal with so far in 2010, now this outbreak is coming. Again, 1,500 people as of October 22nd ill and 150 dead, but the count is climbing, and there are stories coming from some of the hospitals in Haiti that they're just being overwhelmed with new cases. And speaking of something just really gruesome.
Yeah, and disturbing.
And disturbing. It's
and actually terrifying.
In keeping with the
time of year.
Spirit of the season, and not a good one. In Miami, a story of, a neighborhood waking up to find their street covered with dead, headless animals.
A variety of animals, a couple of dozen animals, and they included goats, cats, birds.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one animal that was not, they could not identify the animal.
Which is kind of bizarre.
So what else was done other than the head being removed? I mean, if they couldn't identify the animal, that tells me that the animal was pretty badly beaten or cut up.
Yeah. This took place on 34th Avenue in Miami between 16th Terrace and 15th Terrace. The first clue they had was a resident said when interviewed that they were awakened by the sound of car tires screeching
on
the
street. Well, and a big bang.
And a big bang, right. Miami police think that these animals might have been used in a ritual Santeria.
Something like Santeria, yeah.
But Santeria rituals don't usually include cats, and there were a number of cats found.
Right. It's very, very disturbing.
Yeah.
And here's what else. You just sort of have to read between the lines. Here's the line. About a dozen goats, cats, and different types of birds were laid out on nearly two blocks between 16th Terrace and 15th Terrace.
Yeah.
They were laid out. Well, so this is in the middle of the night. Doesn't mean that they were just dumped out. The line says laid out.
Laid out, yeah.
Were they, you know, was this part of the ritual?
Well, that's a really
I mean, they
good
could
question.
Have dumped these anywhere, and they wouldn't have been, the police wouldn't have been the wiser.
Yeah.
But why put them here?
And what, I mean, when you think about that, you know, animals, now the street wasn't covered, you know, curb to curb, but animals strewn, scattered across two city blocks. That's a lot of space. And apparently some of these animals have been dead for quite some time, so the stench, according to witnesses, was overpowering. This is disturbing, and needless to say, the people in that neighborhood are concerned about what might happen between now and October 31st.
And what may happen to their own pets.
Yes.
Which reminds me, as we get to the Halloween season, I know you guys already know this, but if you have pets, keep them indoors as much as you can, especially as you get closer and closer to the 31st, especially if you've got a black cat. Mm. Please keep that animal inside.
Yeah. Well, we'll watch for follow-up on this story as the police are investigating, and they're asking for any leads that people in the Miami area might have. You can find the article linked at our Instapaper account. That's instapaper.com, and look for the user, PID Radio. We'll star that story so that you can find it. Another leak from WikiLeaks. There was a big info dump concerning the Afghanistan war.
Biggest one, yeah, and it was the Iraq war as well.
This one relates to the Iraq war. The other one predominantly covered Afghanistan.
This one is huge. It's the Iraq war, and it's not good news. The military does not want you to read these papers.
Yeah, the largest release of secret U.S. military documents ever, according to ABC News. WikiLeaks has released a stash of classified reports about the war in Iraq, including a secret U.S. government report that puts the death toll of Iraqis at over 100,000. 100,000 inside Iraq.
Yes.
This includes evidence of state-sanctioned torture by the Iraqi government, new evidence of Iraqi government death squads, which we've heard little reports of here and there, you know, the Sunnis and the Shiites at each other's throats, and Iran trying to stir the pot by funneling weapons and operatives into the country to try to turn the government their way. 400,000 documents apparently released today, October 22nd, and that's a huge death toll. And you know, coincident with this, you know, occurring at the same time as this is a report. Well, not a report, but you know, the fact that the government, the United States government, which has been trying to prosecute Blackwater contractors, mm-hmm. you know, now Z Services,
mm-hmm. yes.
for wrongful death cases in Iraq.
Z sounds so much, you know, it sounds
friendlier. Yeah.
Oh, hey, Z.
Modern, yeah. Better branding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Blackwater does sound a little ominous, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Well, the government has been investigating and attempting to prosecute contractors who worked for Blackwater for things that they did inside Iraq for the last 4 years, and the cases are now falling apart, which comes as no real surprise if you've looked at this with any skepticism. The connections, political and financial connections, that Eric Prince, founder of Blackwater,
does this have anything to do with the fact that Eric Prince has been trying to unload Z?
You know, I don't know. That potential investors are kind of making sure that they're not going to be saddled with too many obligations, debts.
I sure worry about it. Yeah. But then again, I guess if you have deep pockets, you don't worry about that kind
exactly.
of
well, the latest case was against one Andrew J. Moonen, who was accused of killing a guard assigned to the Iraqi vice president on Christmas Eve of 2006. Justice Department officials said they are abandoning the case after an investigation that began about, 3.5 years ago, which included trips to Baghdad by prosecutors and FBI agents to interview Iraqi witnesses. The reason they're dropping the case, and the reason they've dropped the case in a number of other alleged murders, is that these guys, Moonen in particular, have often been interviewed, not immediately after the incident, not by the FBI or by law enforcement, but by officials from the U.S. Department of State. And in Moonen's case, the embassy basically told Moonen he had to give a statement or he'd be fired. But he'd be granted immunity from prosecution for anything he said. So, you know, if you're accused of killing somebody, you might as well, you know, just spill your guts if they're going to offer you that kind of a sweet deal.
Well,
especially if you can get it in writing. So he's got this deal. Apparently, other guys, like some of the Blackwater guards in the Nisour, Nisour Square Nisour, case, 17, I believe that was the death count, the 17 Iraqis dead, I think, in that case. I'll have to look that up to make sure I get that fat number right. Anyway, they were essentially offered the same kind of deal. Instead of being interviewed by law enforcement or Justice Department officials, they were interviewed by State Department officials and said, if you don't talk, you're fired. But if you do talk, you're immune from prosecution. So any justice that...
They're playing good cop, bad cop.
They're playing good cop, stupid... The bad cop, stupid cop is what they're playing. And I am correct. Nisour Square, that was the Blackwater Baghdad shootings. 17 Iraqis dead. 17, the number of Osiris there.
Yeah.
So anyway, Moonen, the latest in this case. And these guys are, you know, innocent until proven guilty. But it's a little difficult to prove anyone guilty if, in fact, they are, if they've been granted immunity from prosecution before the case even gets underway.
So, well, I wonder how much this WikiLeaks thing is going to affect all of that.
Well, I don't know. It seems to be a pattern here, well, maybe not just here, but around the world, that if enough time passes,
mm-hmm.
the people, the average people, folks like us, we tend to forget.
Well, the things that we did in Iraq, we're also doing those prep things that frankly, the Iraq thing and the Afghanistan, those go back 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've been there a long time doing groundwork. We're now doing groundwork in Pakistan. We're doing groundwork in India. We're doing groundwork in Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
There's a story that I posted today about confirmed torture in Papua in Indonesia. And, I mean, these local soldiers are going in and just assume they're claiming that these villagers are somehow terrorists against the state. And there is a video that you don't want to watch because it's really disturbing.
Hmm.
And it's that they're trying to crack down on this kind of stuff. And when I read that, I thought, okay, I've recently seen something about Indonesia. What is it? So I did a little search, and I found out that, sure enough, back in February of this year, George Soros said, hey, put your money in Indonesia. That's the place to go, people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they had a banking crisis last year, but we've propped them up. It's not a bad place to put your money now. So it makes me wonder if there isn't softening going up,
mm-hmm.
going on now on the ground.
And we've said it before. We'll say it again. Watch the movie Syriana.
Mm.
Because that's what's happening. It appears to be happening over and over again. There's a brilliant scene where an attorney who's trying to figure out what's going on. He's actually trying to figure out a way to get his oil firm client off the hook for something it did.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about corruption with a character played by the wonderful actor Tim Blake Nelson.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, played the sort of dim-witted fella in Oh, Brother, Where Art
He's
Thou?
He's not dim-witted in this movie.
No, in this film. But there's a brilliant scene where they're standing outside, and Nelson's character says, corruption! Corruption is what keeps us safe and warm at night. You know, and it goes on from there.
We should have found that.
That would have been a great clip. We'll have to get that next
maybe
week.
Maybe we'll play that tomorrow. You've got a show tonight. Who's on your show?
Well, tonight we're going to talk about, false flag terror in the United States and how that might play out in a dystopian, apocalyptic near future America.
Every day they're telling us something's about to happen. I mean, that drum is being beaten so mm-hmm. loudly right
yeah.
now.
And it's Christians, us closed-minded Christians, who are responsible for it. We're refusing to let the new age come to fruition. And so we just need to be taken out of the way before they get us. And,
Lord love him, Dave Duncan was right.
Amen to that. So American Midnight is the novel, and the co-authors Brandon Barr and Mike Lynch, who, by the way, are, like us, part of the Lost Genre Guild. Christians who can write speculative fiction. So we'll have them on tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. That's GMT-5. And then Sunday we'll talk about a story that is beginning to spread through the conspiracy community, the UFO community.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Redfern, author of the book Final Events, talks about the Collins Elite, a secretive group inside U.S. intelligence circles that's been investigating UFOs for, going on 60 years, over 60 years. They've come to a similar conclusion about the cause as we have, and people we respect, like Dr. Michael Heiser and L.A. Marzulli, Guy Malone, George Jordan, and so forth. They just have a really bad solution to the problem, which is essentially a Christian version of Sharia law. We need to impose faith and morals upon America to save our souls from demonic UFOs.
I've heard that line before. Why, at first they'll think it's like a dictatorship.
Yeah,
but then
exactly.
Yeah.
So that will be, I think, the launching point for some interesting conversations in the weeks to come, because there are questions as to how accurate the story is. And Redfern himself knows, you know, dealing with guys who claim to be from the intelligence community, how much can you trust their information? Which then begs the question, why is the story out at all? What's the point of the story?
Good question. Hey, a couple of housekeeping things. One, we want to remind you about the GilbertHouse.org site, where you can go and join in the fun. It's
mm-hmm.
a Facebook kind of interaction site, and you can sign in and post away. I've just added an option to post links as well, and I posted the very first one, which is a link to the downloads that Sam Miller has made available from the Canton, Ohio conference.
Right.
You don't want to miss those. You want to make sure that you watch those, and pretty soon you're going to be able to watch all of them if you order the DVD. You want to make sure you do that. The other thing is, speaking of Sam Miller, he's going to be joining us this weekend in the bunker,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to be helping us to prepare for something that we are about to embark upon.
Yep. We're looking at taking we're in keeping with the theme of you know the whole movement. You know, it's keeping up with the times. We don't want to limit ourselves to the technology here of just audio. So we are going trans audio. You know, not transhuman. We're just going to go trans audio and start adding some video to the mix here.
You said trains. I thought we were going to play with trains. Aww.
Well, you know, train's good, plane's bad. Remember that.
Yeah. I will remember that. Okay. So if you think you can stand it, eventually we will have a weekly vidcast of PID vid. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, baby.
So until then, or until Monday anyway, I'm Derek Gilbert.
Until tonight.
That's right.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone.